Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
This time it was UCLA and USC dropping the bomb on us in college athletics. Nate Bucchetti along with Todd Lebo, Marco Marquez is running the show, and Stan Weber is joining us from Columbia, South Carolina on the eve of his firstborn child's wedding.
Firstborn son.
Firstborn son, I beg your pardon. Firstborn
Stan's
son, Stan
got
Weber.
Way older daughters, right, Stan?
Yeah, my daughter Brittany is born in 2013, and so I have three grandchildren, unbelievably. So one married, three grandchildren. So yes, a little further along than the first one getting married. But the first son getting married, which means living where we do in Kansas City and the wedding being in Columbia and being on the father's side, I only have to write one kind of big check, but not nearly as big as the one tomorrow. And, for planning purposes, we're here to have fun, and we don't have to worry about too much. It's their home court. Their young daughter is the one getting married. They're excited because it is their first child having a wedding. So yeah, there's that excitement level that we went through when our daughter Brittany married Tyler Richardson. And Tyler will be glad we mentioned his name on radio. Tyler Richardson.
Shout out Tyler Richardson. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no one more excited. He wishes he could jump on the air right now. I mean, he ran over to me yesterday.
Stan? We might have put him on hold there and check it out.
Yeah, we'll check and make sure that Stan is there. While we're doing that, I'm going to get you caught up on what happened yesterday. In case you missed it, the biggest topic of the day is going to be conference realignment. The news came out around noon yesterday that UCLA and USC would be leaving the Pac-12 to join the Big 12. Those reports came out and then were immediately corroborated by the schools. They put out statements, then the Pac-12 put out a statement that said, quote, "While we are extremely surprised and disappointed by the news coming out of UCLA and USC today, we have a long and storied history in athletics, academics, and leadership in supporting student athletes that we are confident will continue to thrive and grow into the future. The Pac-12 is home to many of the world's best universities, athletic programs, and alumni representing one of the most dynamic regions in the United States," blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. That's the statement from the Pac-12. Then this coming out from front office sports, SoFi Stadium, now a potential target to host future Big Ten championship games. All of a sudden, we're going to have the Big Ten championship game between Illinois and Penn State at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Front office sports tweeting out, Marco sending me all this stuff, doing a great job yesterday, Marco, of sending me updates and everything. Quote, "The Big 12 may get aggressive and look to add Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado," per Brett McMurphy. Brett McMurphy also says, "Now that USC and UCLA officially joined the Big 10, what's next for Notre Dame, SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Pac-12? One source said their thoughts about the future of conference realignment, quote, "Buckle up, because this is going to be one hell of a ride." We've got Stan back. Stan, everything good? Are you there, Stan? Can we hear you, Stan? Pot him back up. Let's see. Make sure we get it. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. It's not true that Tyler Richardson tackled me and tried to get the phone. Not true at all. Well, hey, the news is unbelievable. And I think, first of all, being a guy who is always evaluating the risk in life, anytime you see the deck reshuffled and you see this conference realignment stuff happen, it's time to take a deep breath and wonder, where does it all go? You can't be cocky about it. But we also cannot lack confidence. You know, one of the things that's interesting about our part of the country, and so many times in Kansas City I've heard people say to me, flyover country, and and things that are very humble. You know, like, we don't have the strength, the power. It's been kind of a humbled statement. And I just been taking my mindset and saying, that's not how I look at this type of thing at all, this conference realignment. Go back to, you know, 2010, 11, around in that time. And remember when Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, pretty new, tried to make a big play and steal some Big 12 schools. And I was just sitting there going, this guy's selling a bill of goods. He's got the weakest conference. He's attacking because he's got the ocean on one side. He's got the Pacific time zone where people don't watch their games in football, and they don't have fan support to really care about athletics going on out there. They are the weakest conference, and their TV deal was bad. But we were concerned at that time that we were going to lose our teams. Fortunately, that did not happen. But I've continued to hold throughout the last 10 years where maybe there appeared to be some stability. Todd, you know about Oklahoma and Texas surprising us and creating another environment where we didn't know. I thought the Big 12 did a great job going out and getting four teams. I think they got a reason to be strong. And as long as they look internally and feel strong, they are strong. Let me tell you, we are the Big 12, the third best conference in the country. We are, and we have been. We shouldn't be so humble and act like we're not. Even without Oklahoma and Texas, we are. The ACC has Clemson in football. And some people in the ACC don't even count Clemson as a school in the ACC. It's mostly about basketball, which is not where the money is. Okay? And they have an awful TV contract. It goes into, what, 2038, 2035 or something. They're locked in with a fairly low payout for a long long time. So the ACC doesn't have the money, and it doesn't have an advantage over us. The Pac-12 has been a joke for a long, long time. They've been trying to act like they're a big deal, but their television contract is awful, and I talked to you about the other things. The Pac-12 is not nearly as strong as the Big 12, and it never has been. Now with USC and UCLA going, I think we're starting to see this. We are in the central time zone generally, which is perfect for playing 11 o'clock games. If we want, we could play 8 o'clock central time starts and cover a great television package. Our schools care about football a ton, but they also care about basketball a ton. Our fans go to the game. It's great theater. How about Big Monday in basketball? Everyone in the country wants to watch Big Monday because they see these crazy fans caring about the game. Now, you've forgotten about that a little bit because of COVID, but just remember how our stadiums and our basketball arenas look. We are great for television. We've got big-time teams in both football and basketball. Even without Texas and Oklahoma, we're going to be fine. This is their opportunity for the Big 12 to step up, not be humble, and attack and say, we are the third best conference in the country. The SEC is dominating. The Big Ten's trying to stay with them. And the money that their television contracts will allow them to get is outrageous. The payouts per team, remember it's per team, are going to be very, very high and significantly higher than the other conferences. We're not going to be able to keep up with the SEC in money per team with our television contract, nor will we be able to keep up with the Big Ten, but we will be able to surpass the ACC easily, and the Pac-12 is in trouble. They've lost USC and UCLA. I've always said when Larry Scott was trying to attack us with the Pac-12, I said, no, no, we got to turn this boomerang right around and go get Arizona and Arizona State. They don't feel loved and a part of the big part of the Pac-12. They're the newcomers. We ought to go get Arizona and Arizona State and add them to our conference. Well, now we can do that. But we can even be more choosy. How about Washington? Do you want the Seattle market? How about Utah as a great rivalry with BYU? How about bringing Utah? Do you want Colorado, or do you laugh at Colorado right now and say, hey, you guys left. We're just going to leave you out there. You don't add much to us. Let's just go over Colorado and go get Utah. But what we're seeing here is that a move towards 16 teams is the way it's going to go. And the Big 12 went from 10 to 8, back to 12 sometime. I know maybe 2 years more or 3 years more of possibly 2 years of 14 teams after this season, maybe. But this may take the Big 12 into a mode of saying, well, we probably got to go to 16 teams. And I think everybody in the conference would be open to that and say, why don't we go to 16 and match where the SEC's gone, where the Big Ten is going, and now you can be choosy. You know, you could even try to pluck some ACC teams if you wanted to. If they can get out of their television contract and get over here, you might want it. But the easy thing is to look west, get four more teams, and take the ones you want. I mean, you can make any case you want. Tell me this. How about Arizona State, Stanford, Utah, Washington? Is that what you like? I mean, it's a smorgasbord of opportunities.
Hey, if we're being choosy, I want Oregon. I want the Nike money.
Okay, there you go. You could say, I want Oregon. Just pick any four, and you are going to add to your conference, and it's going to be a positive getting to 16 and solidifying yourself to what I thought all along, all the way back to 2010 when some of this craziness started. I thought we were the third best conference, monetarily, opportunity-wise, and what our action is like, what our competitiveness is, how we care about college athletics. So it's a real, real time to feel very good. But, guys, there's always risks, right? There's always risks. And the risk is our television contract lasts for 3 years. And that's so well written. Our grant of rights are so well written that Oklahoma and Texas's lawyers haven't found a way to kind of skirt the issue and get out of the conference. There is a real chance that Oklahoma and Texas might play in the Big 12 for three more years. That's because the contract is written so well. Well, that glue that holds us so tightly together legally, it will not be true after 3 years. And it will be true for all of us, not just Oklahoma and Texas. All of us are free agents at the end of this 3 years until we set a grant of rights for a new contract. So until that happens, I don't want to get all cocky. I thought we should have been strong in 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and so forth. And now's our time to attack the weakest conference that's out there, the Pac-12, and solidify ourselves. But we still need connectivity. Guys, we still need the Big 12 to believe in each other, look internally and say, we're going to be a great conference. And if we do that and stick together, we got 12 solid members and we can grow to 16. But if anybody starts getting into a free agency mind, the big question is, does the SEC and the Big Ten think 20 is the right number?
Right.
Not 16.
That's the scary part.
That is still a risk.
That's the scary part, because what you don't want to do is have them start rolling towards 20 and then – you can't get to 16 because the better schools get pilfered. This is where leadership's going to be a key. The bad news is, a guy's been on the job for not even a day yet, right? This Brett Yormack, who's the new commissioner of the Big 12. He actually doesn't officially start until like August 1st, I don't think. So like Bob Bowlesby can't get out of here fast enough. But now he's got to help kind of hold this stuff together as they go. I like your idea of being aggressive. And maybe all these things will make will kind of help everything happen. I think in the end, the grant of rights is very powerful and strong the way the Big 12 wrote it, because it's like an $80 million number to get out for Oklahoma and Texas. But maybe if they have to rewrite the grant of rights to everyone who's in the league right now and extend it for 10 more years or something, maybe that's a chance for Oklahoma and Texas to get out and get to the SEC. Because what we'd like is to not have a bunch of lame duck years. It's just not that much fun to have these things happen. Here's what... if we're thinking big, Stan, here's what I want. I think the biggest thing out there in college athletics right now is to actually make Notre Dame legitimately really join a conference, okay? If you want to really make someone do something, and maybe this is impossible for the Big 12 to get this done, but you don't know unless you go ask. They seem like they're aligned with the ACC right now, but if you take Notre Dame out of their half alignment with the ACC is even weaker than it is. So I don't know. There's a way. I like going west, but if there's some way to allow that to happen on that front, that would be crazy as well, because that's the one big thing that's laying out there that has a nationwide appeal and a historic football program and all that kind of stuff, and they're not really in a league.
Well, that's right, and you can say that they have a contractual agreement with the ACC to play conference games in every sport but football, okay? And in football, they have a scheduling alliance to have, I think, four or five games every year against ACC teams, but they're just non-con games. You're right. They are much more of a free agent in this process, and they may need to find a safe haven as this thing is unfolding. And we're moving forward to probably four big conferences playing together at what we think now is the FBS level. And we may see football separate itself, guys. There may be a logic for football, men's basketball, maybe women's basketball to separate in these conference alignments and then everything else be regionalized. You know, volleyball and track and all these other sports, just playing in a region in an alliance and not have a real conference so you can save money and have some logic. But in the football world, Notre Dame is more of a free agent. Here's the big variable. In my opinion, it was ESPN that planted the seed that grew into Oklahoma and Texas ending up in the SEC.
Totally agree.
And it's about money, and it's the Texas Longhorn Network being a disaster. It was a disaster for ESPN. They are bleeding out so much money. They needed Texas to allow that to end, which it will here in a few years. Just go away quietly. Texas won't be embarrassed. They'll brag about how they're going to the SEC. I'll remind them, no, you failed. You failed. Your television network is a failure, Texas, because you cannot carry it. It wasn't ESPN's fault. It's good production. It's Texas isn't notable enough to carry it. So Texas failed. ESPN needed a way out. And so that's where we got to where we are right now. They had SEC money, doubled down. They took the CBS 230 game away. That'll be on the ESPN ABC network rather than CBS and all of that. So that was moving along. But if ESPN, for some reason, wants to throw a saving lifeline out to the ACC, if there's any reason why they want to help the ACC out, they could cause problems. But I don't know why they would do that, because they're on the good end of a great contract. I mean, they got the ACC by the neck. Till what? I can't look it up right now. I'm just sitting outside with my phone. But it's like 2035 or after that ESPN has a contract with the ACC, and it doesn't pay that much. So unless ESPN changes their environment and backs the ACC and tries to tear up the Big 12 for some reason, and I don't know why they would do that right now, then I think we're in very good position. And you're right. You can go after Notre Dame, and you better start looking at the contracts of the ACC teams getting out, Todd. And think about, do you want North Carolina? How about Notre Dame and North Carolina added to the Big 12?
Yeah.
You know, start looking around. Does Clemson want to play in a more football-focused, higher-money conference like the Big 12? How about Clemson and Notre Dame join the Big 12? And then you head west, and like Nate said, maybe you want Oregon. You know, pick your four schools to get to 16, but do it with confidence. And right now, the ACC does not have enough blood in their system. They do not have enough money to go out and be stealing teams from the Big 12. They just need to hope things stay steady for them. The Pac-12 is in trouble, and the Big 12 needs to make their move. And so it's something that I've thought all along. I've always thought we have the factors that are real, the real fans, the real support, great football, great basketball, great competitiveness, great time zone. We are the third best conference in the country, period. And I would have said that when we thought, remember we heard the news, Todd, I was in studio on a Friday afternoon and people thought, uh-oh, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, whoever it was, probably not Baylor, but was going to go to the Pac-12 with Larry Scott. And I just shook my head and said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. We are a much better conference than the Pac-12. And finally, it's playing out like I thought it has been for over a decade.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see who poaches who, you know, at this point. You're throwing out these ACC schools. The first thing I thought of was, what about Florida State? If you're going to have Central Florida joining this league, why not try to get some sort of regional, you know, team that they can have as a kind of a rivalry with there? And I could see, I don't know, maybe that's something that is that far-fetched at this point?
Anything is possible right now.
Yeah.
I really do
think
anything is
possible. That's a good point. I mean, if you had Florida State, Clemson, Notre Dame. Heck, if you get – I don't know how they can get out of their contracts. You know, that's the thing that really does matter, who is available on the eastern side of the country. We know there's some availability on the western side because get this, based on the grant of rights, Todd, I know you hope this doesn't happen, but based on the grant of rights, UCLA and USC will be playing Big Ten conference games before Oklahoma and Texas play SEC games.
Yeah.
Because the contract lasts one more year.
Yep.
But the Pac-12 teams are 2 years away from all being free agents. And without USC and UCLA, it's a whole different situation.
Well, there's a number for everything. That's the deal. Because, like, Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati all paid, like, $17 million to get out of their TV deal with the AAC. But they're doing that because they were only making, like, $8 million a year. So it's worth it for them to get out, to come to the Big 12. Even though when they first join the Big 12, it'll be a graduated scale. They won't be full members at the beginning of it, right? You got to fight your way in. You get a little half and then 75 or whatever it is. The number for the Big 12 is just bigger. It's $80 million. So that's why what they may do is just negotiate it down and you get closer to it and they get out of it. Who knows? But I do think the possibility exists is the Big 12 – there's 3 years left in this thing. You don't want to have one that's maybe too long and too cheap like the ACC has, but you want some protection
right? So maybe that's a time where they want to rewrite and add, if they're adding new teams, make the grant of rights longer than this 3 years that's left, and that may be an escape route for Oklahoma and Texas because the number may get smaller because, you know, they won't agree to another grant of rights. There's so many things that are happening at the legal level right now with contracts and lawyers. It'll make your head spin. But I know this, there's a way to get in or out of anything because they're all doing it.
Well, you hit on a couple of things, and I said when we went into the segment, you got to understand the business side of it. The grant of rights are the giant thing, but there cannot be a grant of rights, Todd, until there's a television contract to grant the rights to.
Right.
So the Big 12 is sitting in neutral right now, and remember, there was a three-person board. I think the Texas chancellor was a part of it who went out and tried to negotiate contracts past these next three football seasons. That's how long this grant of rights works. And the grant of rights means if Kansas plays a home game and Oklahoma plays a home game, the Big 12 will receive the money for those contracts. It doesn't matter if you go to another conference and say, we're out of here. Not only can you get a payout, you actually have their rights for the money of the television home game. So that's how you keep Oklahoma and Texas from leaving. If Texas plays a home game and they say, we're out of here, we're going to the SEC, not only would they owe the $80 million, Todd, you'd still get the money for their home game. So that's the reason why these grant of rights are so important. Here's the thing. The Texas chancellor was talking to ESPN and other television executives and said, we want to negotiate and extend our Big 12 contract. This is before Oklahoma and Texas left. And the television partners, Todd and Nate, said, no, let's don't negotiate right now. Let's wait a little bit. And I think it's been reported that that made him a little nervous. Like, what the heck's going on? Why don't they want to negotiate with us? So let's advance to today, where Oklahoma and Texas are going to move no later than 3 years from now, three seasons now. And in 2 years, two seasons of USC and UCLA in the Pac-12 before they move on to the Big Ten. Here's the thing to watch. Remember I mentioned ESPN and what they might do for the ACC? They should be quiet and just tell the ACC teams, look at the contract, man. We got way many years left on this contract. But if ESPN, Fox, Amazon,
Apple,
Google, Apple, whoever can start talking about these media rights, here's the big thing. If you see them start engaging with the Big 12 right now or very soon, that assures your conference of being a factor. So if the Big 12 said, hey, we got 12 schools after Oklahoma and Texas cycle through, if they quickly said, give us 6 months and we'll have 16 schools, and if the television partners, especially Fox and ESPN, say, let's go to the table and negotiate things, then you could put a 7 or 10 year contract together starting after this 3 year run. You can then get grant of rights. And for you, Todd, you could also let Oklahoma and Texas get out. If you knew your conference was flying along and had big money and was absolutely the third highest paid conference in the country by your media outlets, real money, basically for the value of your football, then you could say to Oklahoma and Texas, okay, we'll let you get to the SEC a little bit early, pay us a little less money, but because we know where our future is, let's get to our future. Let's get the 16 teams, sign that giant contract with Fox, ESPN. How about NBC still in play, right? And especially if you go get Notre Dame and say, NBC, you want some television? How about CBS, who just lost the SEC? They want good games. There are plenty of partners out there to get the money, but this is the thing to watch. The solidification of the Big 12's great future will be when the television partners start negotiating for the contract starting from four seasons out into the future. When they do that, we know we're off and running. Until they do that, there's a little bit of concern you've got to have, and you need to know these television partners still are big players in how this all ends.
Okay, I'm gonna paint a scenario for everybody in the next segment that is a little scary in that regard. After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mark Mangino was right. You know what this is about, don't you? Dollar signs. All right, Marco, you're going to want to have to get the soccer alarm ready because I'm about to make an analogy here And Stan, I want you to stick with me on this because this is directly related to the landscape of college athletics right now. I've said for a long time, actually, to me, the biggest comparison to the setup of college athletics is the setup of soccer in Europe. You have all these, yep, there you go, sound the alarm. And this is important because of what just happened in college football and what just happened in European soccer. It might tell you something about what they're going to try to do, in my opinion. Okay, so in Europe, every country has its own league, right? France has its own league, England has its own league, and there's kind of a Power Five. There's England, France, Italy, Spain, Germany. Those are the Power Five. Those are the big five leagues in Europe. Then you got some smaller leagues like Scotland and countries like that that might have one or two really good teams. Those are leagues like your MAC or your Missouri Valley or something like that, you know. And then what happens is the top teams from each one of those leagues gets to play in a big tournament. Huh. Just like the NCAA tournament in basketball or the college football playoff. And you know what ends up happening? It's the same teams from those top leagues every time. Does that sound familiar? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, pretty much. And every once in a while, maybe Michigan wins instead of Ohio State. But it's going to be, you know that Indiana's not making it to the college football playoff, right? You know certain teams just aren't going to win the national championship or get into it. And that's the way European soccer is. It's always Bayern Munich in Germany. It's always PSG in France. And what did those teams all try to do in Europe last year, Todd?
They tried to make a big super leaguey thing.
They called it, they wanted, and they did it behind everybody's back. All the top teams in England, the top teams in Spain, the top teams in Italy, they all got together and sided behind the backs of all of the teams they've been playing against for 150 years. They got together and said, let's walk away from all these other teams and let's start our own Super League. Then we don't have to worry about competing with any of those other teams, and we can take all the money for ourselves. Now, the only thing that stopped it was what, Todd?
Well, everyone said, this stinks. We're not doing this.
All the other teams that have been supported by their fans for 150 years basically rioted.
Yeah.
They were rioting in the streets and said, you're not going to do this. We want these, you know, we want a rainy night in Stoke. That was the phrase, you know, like things like that. Stan, that's where these big schools, if Oklahoma and Texas had their way, if Ohio State and Clemson had their way, Alabama would kick Ole Miss to the curb tomorrow.
Except I do think that they like to beat these teams because they don't want to play. The SEC team, Stan, they don't want to play nine league games and have to play seven of them be really hard. That's my opinion.
If they don't have to, if they get 10 times as much money.
The elite teams, Nate, the elite teams playing together and separating, they say they get the big money. But what they forgot is someone's still going to be in last place.
Right.
And when you used to be in first place and you fall to last, it is not good. And Todd's great about pointing to the SEC. They brag about being the best, but they don't want nine conference games. They got a logical system here with 16 teams coming where it makes the most sense in the world to have nine conference games. And there's 50-50 on it right now. Because they only really want to play eight games and they want to go find other teams to beat. And that's the thing that gets tricky about this. Only in the NFL do you have great 32 teams going at it. But they have contracts and drafts and things like that to try to make it equal, which we don't have in college athletics or you don't have in European soccer. But that's one of the fallacies. If you pick the best 8, 12, 16 football schools in the country and they try to go make a contract with the television partners to just blow it out and be a little, you know, little NFL, that ain't going to work because their fans are not going to come and watch their team be the 11th or 12th in the conference. They better be careful, and the SEC is smart about this. The Vanderbilts of the world are glad to have the money and be safe. The Mississippis are glad to have the reputation and get some good athletes and play well once in a while, but they're not going to beat Alabama and Auburn and Georgia. And Georgia wants to play some of those teams, so that it really is a smart thing. It worked out well for the European soccer that they didn't get a chance to do that with the fans uprising, really stopping it right in its tracks right at the beginning. But it really wouldn't have been good. They could have signed a contract, but it would not have been fun to lose to the other great teams and not be able to up your record. The question I had, though, there's two little things that pop in my mind because I don't really understand a lot of things about Europe and definitely not about soccer. Did the Vatican and the Rome team, is that Notre Dame? Do they have a team over there?
They do.
There is Roma. I don't think that they don't have. Yeah, like
no,
they don't.
I got to be a Vatican team, man. Well, that'd be like Notre Dame that somewhere tries to fit in but can't quite fit in. And
that's
Italian
and
league's about like
actually,
the
you know what's
Pac-12.
Funny about that, Stan? The team that I support the most, Celtic FC in Glasgow, Scotland, was founded by an Irish Catholic priest, and they have a four-leaf clover as their logo. They're the Notre
that's
Dame.
That's the Irish, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that would have been cool. That'd be cool if I'd have known that and set you up.
That's
but
about
I had
the
no
Mac
idea
there.
About any of those things, your team or that team. Hey, Todd, yeah. I want to know, did Lincoln Riley sneak over and get into the European soccer? Because how about, is he getting a brokerage fee? Is he getting a commission? He goes to Oklahoma, replaces Bob Stoops, and suddenly Oklahoma's making a big surprise move. How surprising was it when Oklahoma, Texas said they're going to the SEC?
I was shocked.
That was not a secret that Todd kept. I mean, he can keep a secret about Danny Welniak making a move, okay? But no, he had no idea Oklahoma was off. Lincoln Riley was the head coach. Lincoln Riley's hardly been to USC when he said, hey, pay me a commission and I'll get you over to the Big Ten. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know
two
if he
times
wanted...
he's been involved with this. I just wonder, is he the key? Forget the television partners. Maybe Lincoln Riley.
He tweeted yesterday. He retweeted the USC tweet that said that they're joining the Big Ten. He said, excited to be a part of this historic move. Can't wait. Fight on. I don't think that's true. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I do feel that he left Oklahoma in some part. I mean, he's making lots of money, whatever. That part's fine. But there's a part of him that left Oklahoma because I think he felt like he didn't want to be a part of the SEC because it's going to be harder for Oklahoma in the SEC. And I think USC was the easy path to the what we currently have as a college football playoff because it was pretty easy for Oklahoma at this point. Texas had been down. They would win the Big 12, and then they would about every other year have a chance to play in the college football playoff. You go out to Southern Cal, all you got to do is get through the weak-ass Pac-12 to do it. Well, it ain't going to be that easy in 2024. We'll see how they schedule this. You're talking about trips to the Big House or playing Michigan or nobody wants a part of Iowa, you know, grinding it down against you. So I think it just got a lot harder for Lincoln Riley to get to where he wanted to go. But too bad. So, I don't care.
You know, I just, to go back to the comment, you know, the stance I was, you know, this comparison I was making to the Super League effort. I agree with you guys in terms of what teams should think about, what universities should care about, maybe what fears they should have of that. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's all blinded by what they think will make them the most money.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, we see, it's like we have this attitude, and I guess it's just a human nature thing of, well, there was more money on the table. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Not walk away from my happiness? You know, I mean, it's more money. That's what we have to do. And that's how many schools in college athletics have already made that decision?
Well, they have. And that's what really happened in 2010-11, right? Because now, listen, the Big 12 hadn't been around for 1,000 years then, okay?
Right, right.
But Texas and Texas A&M had been 100-year rivals, okay? And Texas A&M just said, we're out. We're gone. Just like that. They threw that whole bit away because they wanted to get away, and I think they were jealous that A&M or that Texas had this dumb Longhorn network that made them lots of money, and they went to the SEC where they're cashing bigger checks and they feel like they're part of something bigger or whatever. And they did that. They threw away decades of tradition for money.
Is Nebraska, I mean, what has happened with Nebraska?
And Nebraska threw it away. Now, they weren't as long in story to history with the teams that came from the Southwest Conference, but they threw away decades of history playing against Oklahoma and playing against, you know, Kansas and you know,
K-State.
Kansas State and Iowa State and Missouri and all these things. They threw that all away to go make some more money. And so that's what's happened. I mean, this has happened for years because, you know, the Big 12 – the Big 8 wasn't always the Big 8. They added teams, right? It was the Big 7 and the Big 6 and the Missouri Valley. And the Big 10 wasn't always what it was. And the SEC didn't always have 12 teams before, you know, Arkansas and South Carolina joined. So this has happened a lot. We pay more attention to it now, I guess. But the tradition stuff's just gone. I mean, it just is. Oklahoma is leaving Bedlam, just turning their back on it, you know? So there's nothing sacred in this anymore. It is about money. There's no question.
You need to think about money coming from two sources. It's so easy for us to say business-wise, it's television money and it's football. There's also the NCAA tournament basketball money that's significant, but it's spread out through all the 350 Division I schools and all of that. It's really football money, football value. But I would propose to you that we always forget about athletic departments being able to reach out to their alumni and get donations, and for them not to do anything inappropriate, that the donations want to be given. And you can do that by winning. For instance, Nebraska's got a lot of money in the Big Ten, okay, more per year than they got in the Big 12. But I propose to you, if we go back and replay the last 10 years, if Nebraska football was still at the top of the standings and a real powerhouse football team like they'd been for the previous 30 or 40 years, I bet you they would have got more in extra donations that would have made up the differential between what a Big 12 contract would have paid them and a Big 10. That is the factor we forget. Nebraska reshuffled the deck, and it was a failure. Nebraska is irrelevant. Now you got UCLA and USC piling on. Nebraska's not there to win Big Ten championships. No one cares about Nebraska, and they're not winning. And the fans, there are kids who are, what, 40 years old, who weren't old enough to really realize that Nebraska's a football power and won three national championships in the 90s. Three national championships. Todd, Oklahoma's proud of what they've done. They've won one national championship in 2000, right? That's the last time. I mean, Nebraska football was so dominant, yet people are like, really? Because they decided to reshuffle the deck and go to the Big Ten. So let's talk about this right now, just as a side note. And this is not at all bashing you, Todd, but Texas, UCLA, and USC are giant market, giant brands worth a lot of reputational money and a lot of people in their state, in their city, and so forth. It is obvious that they're worth a lot of money. But them changing conferences really doesn't matter that much, because USC is not John McKay's USC winning every year. USC is just another average Pac-12 team. Same with UCLA. It's not going to hurt them to integrate into the Big Ten and just be another team. It isn't going to hurt Texas to just go back in and underperform and just be a part of the SEC. The one team that has a risk, like Nebraska experienced, is Oklahoma, because the reputation Oklahoma deserves is the great history of winning football. You know, Chuck Fairbanks, Bud Wilkinson, Barry Switzer, just keep on rolling. Bob Stoops. Oklahoma deserves the love of being a super power. But right now they are dominating the Big 12, winning the conference almost every year. And to say that that level of football is going to be sustained when they go into the SEC, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're just going to be another really good team. And it is not like Oklahoma's the Alabama of the West. So Oklahoma's really taken a giant risk. That's why I'm disappointed, Todd, in Oklahoma following Texas. Texas had to go. ESPN and Texas were together. They had to avoid the embarrassment of the Texas Longhorn Network failing and stopping. And they could avoid that by showing us a big, you know, burnt orange smoke of, look, Texas is going to the SEC. They lose nothing. USC, UCLA, they lose nothing. But Todd, Oklahoma, it's pretty good to win football championships.
I agree. I haven't been happy about this for a year. I haven't been. Now, they'll be fine, I mean, I guess, but I don't know. It's all about the coach. You know that, right? Alabama hasn't won the SEC every year. Even with Nick Saban, they haven't won it every year. Okay, it's hard. And when they get the wrong coach, they're not good. And you get the wrong coach at Auburn, or the wrong coach at Georgia, or the wrong coach at – how good was Florida with Steve Spurrier there? And Tennessee,
and Tennessee
with Phil Fulmer.
I mean, they were the dominant teams in the whole SEC.
You have to go have the right coach. And if you have the right coach, and I fully believe that Oklahoma can be very successful in the SEC, but are they going to win six straight SEC titles? No, I don't think so. Well, I don't think they will, but they've looked past that and said, we're just going to go get this money, and because that's where we think we need to go. They're making decisions. You have to make these decisions quickly and project what's going to happen in the future, and it's scary because the decision you make affects everything else, and then you have to predict what's going to happen to that side. It's difficult to do, and these are tough decisions these guys are making, and You could be wrong. Okay. I mean, I think Nebraska ended up being wrong. I've said this dozens of times. I think the initial Big 12 that we had would still be a great league if, because you had the two biggest, most recognized schools in the state of Texas in it. Because that's what I think the toughest part for the Big 12 is going to be right now. They will have lost two bell cows in the state of Texas. Now, you still got Baylor, you still got Tech, and Houston's coming in, all that stuff. It ain't Texas and Texas A&M. That's a problem. Because Texas, we want to talk about population and who's, you know, Nebraska's a very small state. Oklahoma's a small state, but it's bigger than Nebraska, and it's bigger than Kansas population-wise and all that, and TV households and whatever. Texas is a monster. And you've just lost the two schools over 12 years that are the biggest ones there. And that's the scary part for the rest of the teams in the Big 12, because that's where they got players. That's where you got people to come play. And you know, so those are the things that you worry about here. They're making decisions based on that stuff. And, you know, will kids come to your school? I mean, enrollment's still a part of this too. We're just talking about football. But, you know, well, you need sports to have people want to come to school.
Winning football affects enrollment.
100%. Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
K-State's a perfect example. 100%. What's happened with the football program and how it's coincided with what's happened in enrollment is
well,
a perfect example.
Guys, before I go, I want to say I'm so excited about the Big 12. And, Todd, your team, I have the utmost respect for what Oklahoma football has done, that history and what they've done in the Big 12 and all of that. But I tell you what, if we stick together, if we just believe in each other, if we just stay a little less humble and get a little bit more confidence, and I've never yelled this more confidently and felt good about it in my life, we are third. We are third. What? How can I be so happy? Because fourth and fifth really stink in this deal. Let's let the SEC be number one, Big Ten number two. We are third, and if we stick together, oh my. I mean, basketball matters to us. Look at what kind of basketball conference we have put together with the 12 teams. And if we go to 16, we could take it to another level. But in football, just with the 12 teams we have, who's going to win when once you get through these next three seasons and then you go through the next 10 years, 12 teams or 16 or whatever it is, who's going to win the football conference championships? I think it's going to be like the NFL. It's going to split around, and everybody should be thinking about why not us. Iowa State's playing good football. K-State says, we're there. Oklahoma State's going, we are the most established team. Texas Tech goes, we care about football. Baylor's won a couple of championships. They won against Mississippi in the Sugar Bowl. And you just keep going. And Cincinnati goes, hey, we were in the top five. UCF said, we've been undefeated a couple years ago. BYU's always been a good football school. You just go on and go, man, this is going to be so competitive. So much fun, but an opportunity to not say, let's write down Oklahoma two out of every 3 years and Texas once in a while. The football championship being wide open is so exciting. And if we stick together, guys, we are absolutely the third best conference, and I've never said third best and felt good about it any time of my life until today.
I get it.
Stan, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the wedding. Congratulations to your whole family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you guys have a great weekend.
All right, man. Tell Stanton congrats.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I'll definitely do it.
Stan Weber joining us. We got much more to cover. We got a big holiday weekend forecast with a man who's got ties to Los Angeles and Oklahoma.
He's right in the mix.
He's all over the place. Maybe Gary Lezak's behind
this. Well, and he's realigning because he's
realigning.
He set his date. He's moving.
That's why he said, you know what, I'm out of here.
Seismic shift in meteorology.
There is a seismic shift in meteorology coming up. We will talk with Gary Lezak, get a weather forecast right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Gary Lezak, where did he go to college, Todd?
He went to the finest meteorology college in the history of the world, University of Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma has left the Big 12.
Well, they're trying to leave
the Big 12.
They're
the
in that same mode that Gary is right now. He's still working for Channel 41.
Where did Gary
Lezak
grow up?
He's a California boy. He's L.A.
Southern California.
He's right in there.
Yeah, USC and, UCLA.
Where did you grow up? Right between USC and UCLA or where? Where in L.A.?
Well, when you grow up out there, you're either a UCLA or a USC fan. You're not both. Impossible. You know, they hate each other. So I was a huge UCLA fan growing up. So
where did you grow up in L.A.?
In the Valley. In the West Valley. I'm a Valley boy.
So that's closer to UCLA, right? That's because UCLA is in Westwood?
It is a little closer to UCLA, but they're not that far apart. They're just a few miles apart.
Yeah, it's just 20 hours by a car, but 10 miles. So, yeah.
Right, but then my brother went to UCLA and got his undergraduate degree there. So
are you behind all this? I mean, both places you're associated with have left their conferences to go somewhere else. Is this your? Are you? What are you doing here?
It must be me. You know,
you're
Oklahoma.
Leaving the meteorology industry. What's going on?
Yeah, I know. What is happening? What is going on out there? So I don't know. What do you guys think about it? I'm sure you've talked about it a lot.
It's crazy. These things are not. It's not long and drawn out. Well, it's long and drawn out to when they actually leave. But this was a 4-hour story yesterday, from breaking to actual confirmation by the schools and the league. You know, it's one thing to say, "Hey, this is going to happen. This is going to expect an announcement later today." This was like 4 hours, 5 hours, and it was done. The Oklahoma-Texas thing was a few days or a week.
It's still going on.
Yeah, well, it's still going on. But from the time the story broke, it was happening till they have to do the official. We have to ask. We have to accept. We have to vote. That took a week or two last year. This thing, they had a vote in, an hour. It's just done. It's crazy. I had no idea yesterday when we were talking to you that today we'd be talking about UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten. Not an inkling in my mind. This was not an internet rumor. It was not anything. And now it's just freaking done.
Does this make the Big Ten 16 teams big? Is that what it does?
Yes, that's where they will be in 2024.
Can we rename these conferences? Can we? I mean, is there time?
Stop calling them 10. Yeah, I agree, but... You know, that's
what
they
do. Big 12's been 9 teams for a while.
Big 12's been 10, and then it's going to be 14, theoretically, on July 1st next year. Today is the day that all the things happen.
It's okay to change the name.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, and then is the playoff expanding from 4 teams yet?
No, they haven't done that yet. I don't know.
Ridiculous. That's insanity.
Once these things happen and the Big Ten is in this game, because what happened, the SEC thought it was going to happen. That's why Oklahoma and Texas were going to go there. And then everyone else was like, no, we're not going to do that, and they voted against it. Now that these teams are going to the Big Ten, I promise you, this thing will get through. In a few years, there'll be an 8-team playoff. Because nobody wants to have a 4-team playoff when everyone's in the same league, in my mind. But I don't know. I don't know, Gary. This is like the weather. Changes.
Yeah.
Changes every day, every year, whatever, it just changes.
Like they say in Kansas, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute.
Wait.
If you don't like the way your conference is lined up, just wait a minute.
Just wait.
I know.
Just wait.
I know.
That's what it'll do.
I just think it's going to be completely different. So you need to have a 12-team playoff. I mean, it just needs to be done now. It'll make it more exciting. And then, you know,
thing too, Gary, you grew up out there. You know how big the Rose Bowl is, right? I mean, that's a big event out there in Pasadena. I've been to it. The parade is a monster. It's a big game. And that's been the thing that has held up many things involved with playoffs.
It's ridiculous. And
all that because, you know, God forbid we end up having the Rose Bowl not have to be on January 1st, blah, 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 blah. The only thing that moves that is the NFL because the NFL moves everything. But now think about this. The Rose Bowl, who has been in cahoots with these two leagues, right there in front of their noses, the two biggest schools in their own shadow have gone to the Big Ten now. It's just like wild, man. Wild.
And, just like that. And the Rose Bowl parade can still be on January 1st. And then the Rose Bowl could be a week later or something like that. It doesn't have to be the same day.
Well, that's what they've been the problem. That's why they have to rotate these college football playoff games. Yeah. Because they want to have that one be on that day. It's so stupid.
I'm just thinking out loud here. Just keep the tradition. You have the Rose Bowl parade on January 1st. Continue to do that. And they say, coming up next week, Oklahoma is in the playoffs.
They're playing UCLA.
Well, we're keeping the tradition alive of not giving the weather forecast during this segment.
That is.
How's it looking now?
Well, why do seagulls fly over the sea? If they flew over, why do they fly over the sea? If they flew over the bay, they would be
bagels.
Yeah, there you go. And I just had a bagel.
That's a good one. So, what about this rain? Is Nate going to be in trouble? He's got Chesney Saturday night. He's got Sporting Sunday night.
I'm taking my entire family tomorrow. Nephews, sister, brother-in-law, kids, dad, we're all going golfing tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Is it going to work?
I mean, you have too many things planned. I mean, this is just, you know,
you sound like you're skirting this thing. Is he going to get wet tomorrow playing golf?
I like to fill my calendar up.
I'm going 100% chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow morning, all right?
Oh. Ending by when?
Ending by about, I think if I were really, the way I see it setting up, it's really bizarre, but I think 5 a.m. to about 9 a.m. it rains. Thunderstorms are likely. And then 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. it'll taper off. Will it take till 2 to taper off? Or will it taper off at 10 a.m. and you might have to have a little delay?
Now, where's this rain coming from? Because he's playing Dubs Dread. It's up there off K7.
It's developing over central Kansas, northern Kansas, and then drifting in. During the morning. So tomorrow's high temperature as a result of the clouds, only 76 degrees. So
that's nice.
For summer, that's pretty amazing for almost July 4th. But there may be a window there where it doesn't rain. Then for the Kenny Chesney concert, the most likely time for these thunderstorms with this type of setup is nocturnally. Nocturnal means nighttime. So 3 a.m. to 10 a.m. is the most likely time for this type of setup, which means 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. is the least likely time, especially 2 p.m. to 3 a.m., where at other times of the year, that might not be the case. So there's still a chance of thunderstorms in the evening for the Kenny Chesney concert, et cetera, but I just think that there's a very good chance the window opens where it does not rain from 6 p.m., 5 p.m. till about 10 p.m. tomorrow evening. And then it comes back on Sunday morning. So Sunday morning and Saturday morning, the best chances for rain and thunderstorms. 76 degrees tomorrow, 87 today with a few high clouds. We have clouds for the first time in about 5 days. And then there is a chance of thunderstorm this evening. We'll monitor that. Very low and severe weather risk. So, but we'll monitor that for you. Any questions?
That sounds good to me. That's going to be all right. Rain may mess up your golf. Chesney looks all right. Sunday night's going to be okay. That's all right. We'll take that.
I know.
It's not bad. Could be worse. Could be a billion degrees.
It could be. A billion degrees. Man. That would be hot.
Wouldn't that be hot?
That would be hot.
Are you going to watch fireworks Saturday, Sunday, Monday? When are you watching fireworks, Gary?
Well, on Monday, I'll be at work. And what's really cool at KSHB, we can go to our roof, and up there we can see all these fireworks displays all over the city. So I'm going to do a little bit of that, and it's sort of cool. And what are you guys doing?
Well, going to go to a pool party on Saturday. That sounds like that may not be all that great, but we'll be all right. Do that. Watch some fireworks. I think I'm going to watch the Elvis movie this weekend. How about that?
I know. I haven't seen that. That's a good idea, too. So... sounds good. Yeah, some friends of mine are taking me out to dinner for my birthday. I'm 2 months late.
Yeah, two months late. Take the free meal, Gary. Don't complain about it.
Yep. I'm going to. I'm not complaining about it.
Hey, spread your birthday out. Yeah. Why do it all in one day?
It's a whole year. Crying out loud.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sounds good. So I'll be monitoring this. I know it's a challenging forecast because here it is the holiday weekend. We have these thunderstorms. Very likely later tonight and tomorrow, and maybe late this afternoon. So we'll monitor that, but not this morning. It's just a few high clouds. It's comfortable, 72 degrees. It's going to warm up to about 87 today. It is Friday, and here is Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. Did you know 82 million Americans don't have a doctor? If you're proud that you never go to the doctor, we need to talk. If you're ready to meet a physician who can help you be healthier, live longer, and save money on healthcare, give ProPartners a call or check us out on the web at ProPartnersHealthcare.com.
We will be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.